Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. We are grateful to have Ocusoft as a sponsor of our show. Since 1986, Ocusoft has served the community with a unique selection of proprietary brands, from dry eye care and protection with Retain line of artificial tears to eyelid hygiene with Ocusoft Lid Scrub Eyelid Cleansers, essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Zoria Skincare from Ocusoft offers revolutionary products for people with sensitive skin and eyes. Thank you to Ocusoft for being the number one doctor-recommended brand of eyelid cleansers and providing patients and doctors with products and supplies to continue to keep our eyes healthy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, and I'm here with my good friend, Dr. Mark Perry. Mark, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me to be here.
So I can't remember when we first met. Do you have any idea? I feel like we've just known each other forever.
At least 23, 24 years, I think, just before Vision Source, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it was working with a pair of optometrics. I don't know. But I know that you and Karen have built an amazing practice. Is it one or two?
It's one.
Oh, gosh.
One's enough.
Yeah. But you've done a lot of other things in your life.
We have, yes.
So let's start with you just telling everybody what made you decide to be an optometrist.
My cousin is an optometrist, and he gave me my first eye exam when I was 8. And my first pair of glasses when I was 8, so I was a little bit nearsighted. So he graduated from PCO in 1947, just out of World War II, went to school. And I enjoyed his enthusiasm for optometry.
Yeah.
We went to his house, and he has this huge house in Connecticut. And I thought, oh, my God. And he was talking about all his vacations, and I'm thinking, you know, that might be a great profession to get into.
I could do this.
So, yes. So that kind of what pushed me into it.
And then when did you meet Karen? So his wife, Karen, is an optometrist as well.
Yes. So it's interesting. I was in Tampa working at a VisionWorks, one of the first VisionWorks, actually the first VisionWorks I was ever on site. And she was in Orlando wanting to maybe work at a VisionWorks. Wasn't sure about commercial practice because 1985, there was just a few, and a lot of the doctors that worked in there were kind of frowned upon. So she wanted to call me and get my opinion on what it was like to work at a VisionWorks.
And you said, come visit and we'll talk about
it. We did. And actually, we stayed on the phone for like, actually, I said, I was doing a lunch and I said, I'm going to have to call you back. And I never did. So about 3 months later, we talked again on the phone, but this time we talked for like 3 hours.
So we knew there was
kind of a connection.
That's amazing.
I had no clue what she looked like because there was no internet. So I was always looking at people I was working with because I had met her. What does she look like? You know, I mean.
Which she's beautiful, by the way, y'all.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's a story. So wait, you have siblings that are in the medical field, too?
Yes. Yeah. My twin brother, identical twin, he's an MD. And unfortunately, he's had some retinal issues, which is really weird. And there's nothing I could do about it. But he's retired. He lives in Tampa. A lot of cousins are MDs and PhDs.
Wow. Well, was he a myope as well? Is he a myope?
Yes,
I assume you've had refractive surgery. I don't know why I assume that. But
no, I'm wearing multifocal contacts.
Ooh, so, me too.
Yeah, because I'm really old. And he didn't have refractive surgery. But he just had, actually, the doctors don't know. Even Bascom Palmer doesn't know what occurred in his eyes that created his issue.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's one of the most frustrating, things as an optometrist, to have family and friends that you can't fix.
Exactly. And you don't have an answer for. You don't have an answer or a fix.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, he's unfortunately, he can't drive, so he has a 10-degree visual field in his right eye.
Wow.
And on his left eye, he has no central vision, but he has peripheral vision.
Wow.
So, yeah, he kind of, and his best acuity is about 20/40. So I really feel for him.
Yeah. No, we understand with our patients that they tell us that the one thing that is the most disturbing to them of all the senses, if they had to lose any of it, is their eyesight. So
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely important to continue. For patients that are listening to this, you just don't know. You don't know what's going on in your eyes, which is why it's so important to have eye exams every year.
Just because you have 20/20 vision doesn't necessarily mean you have healthy eyes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's back up. So you were the first optometrist in a VisionWorks.
Well, I was in the number one VisionWorks in the country in Clearwater, Florida.
Gotcha.
There was a couple doctors already in there. They opened up about 6 months before I graduated.
Okay, so then how did your career progress?
So, and I worked for Dr. Ted Gillette in the VisionWorks. He had all the VisionWorks signed for just Florida.
Yeah.
And I got to know the president of VisionWorks, Rob Robertson was his name. And he was the vice president at Eckerd Corporation, which was a drugstore in Florida.
I remember
that. And
they
owned VisionWorks.
Oh, wow.
And then Rob saw potential in Karen and myself, and he offered Orlando, the territory, to Karen and myself. And he gave us an interest-free loan, and he moved us up there, which was really great. And so we came to Orlando, and we've been here since 1990.
Okay, so I was going to ask him, you guys, if he was here before Disney World, which would have been very rude because he's not that old. So.
Okay, this interview's done.
I know, exactly. No, Disney World's an amazing draw, though.
No,
isn't
it is.
It?
And I was there in 1973.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah. I worked in 78 there. Both Karen and I worked in Disney World in 1978.
No, you didn't ever tell me that.
Yeah,
all right, back up. Tell me about that.
So a friend of mine was working at Disney on the weekends, and this was when I was in college at USF in Tampa, and he was commuting up on the weekends, and so we decided to, he said, if you want to come up with me and get a job, because it's pretty easy. So I said, sure. So I just went up on the weekends, and his parents live there. But Lake Buena Vista had four hotels, and every weekend we changed hotels. We slept by the pool overnight, bathed in the pool in the morning, off back to Disney. Well, we didn't have any money.
Those were the days.
Yes. And nobody kicked us out.
And so Karen stayed with you?
Oh, no. This was when I wasn't with Karen. No.
Oh, my gosh.
No. This is BK. This is before Karen. So, yeah, no. No, I didn't.
Oh my God.
I didn't
that
know
was
Karen
the best part, was seeing Karen doing that.
No, you'd never see Karen do that.
Okay. So,
and it was just a friend of mine, and that's what we did for about 4 months. I got tired of the commute, and
wow.
I decided to quit Disney, and I never picked up my last paycheck.
So it's still somewhere
it's
waiting
probably
for
still,
you.
It was like $30. So
it's in those unclaimed funds that Florida has?
It could be.
I bet you it's there. Yeah. I'm going to go look.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
We'll split it.
Okay.
Whatever it is. Because
they
got interest. Yes.
You're going to have to prove your name. They might ask for an address. And
I
you
still
didn't
have my
one.
Disney ID from when I worked there in 78.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I love
so if
it,
you, need
you
some
guys.
Help.
All right. So,
yeah.
Disney was a part of your life, which it should be if you live in Orlando.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Half the people that work in Orlando
That's
have
incredible.
Worked for Disney. Yeah.
All right, so VisionWorks. Let's get back. I get distracted really easy.
Okay, so do I.
Okay, so we're going to go back to VisionWorks. You got Orlando.
Got Orlando. We had, there was two stores. So we were actually commuting back and forth from Tampa every day, 7 days a week, for about a year and a half until we bought a house because we had to sell our house in Tampa, bought a house in Orlando.
Wow.
And then we didn't have that commute, thank goodness. And they gave us a couple more stores as they developed. And then after a while, we just got tired of the commercial practice and decided to go it on our own.
Okay.
So
what did that
did.
Look like?
Oh, that was tough. You know, you're taking a big jump when you have that people just automatically coming in because of VisionWorks and it's the draw itself.
Sure.
But then now it's all on you.
So you built a building? Did you?
No, we rented. We bought a guy's practice. It was less than a mile away.
Yep.
And before I signed that contract, I signed to become an administrator for VisionSource.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So
that's cool.
And I had no clue what VisionSource was. It was the best kept secret.
Yes.
It still is a pretty good secret.
Yeah.
But, so I was the administrator because they didn't have anybody in Orlando. And so got a practice, became the administrator, and then that was 22 years ago.
86% of people with dry eye cases are MGD related, but only 16% of the people, I guess, seek treatment. What are their options?
I think what happens is, in my experience, again, 30 years of doing this, is that patients just try to self-medicate. And so then you go into what is another option that we have that we can do in office for patients to alleviate their symptoms and clear this problem. And that's where Tixali comes into play. So
tell us about it.
Yeah, what's wonderful about it is an FDA-cleared device that allows this thermomechanical action to actually go to the root cause of the problem, those meibomian glands, and be able to help patients to go back to a normal secretion of oils, thereby helping them to have better eye comfort and alleviate their dry eye symptoms.
So have you grown the practice?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. We had rented a 3,000 square foot in a strip center. 10 years of that, we decided to look for property, and a block away was this property that looked exceptional, and we ended up buying the building, gutted the building, added onto it, and now we have 6,000 square foot office that's going to do over $2 million this year, which is kind of amazing.
Mark, that is incredible.
Yeah.
You and Karen have always been just such leaders for so many, and you took that risk. And I love the fact that you didn't start with, you know, $5 million in revenue. You started sleeping in the pool.
Yeah.
At the hotel. Not sleeping at the pool.
At the pool, in the lounge chair. Yes, exactly. Living the dream.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
But you never gave up. So there's a lot of students that listen to this. My daughter is a student. You know that.
Yes.
An optometry student. So they can't even imagine what life is going to be like when they're done with school. What all of that transpired. What when you go back and look at your history, what words of advice would you have for students? I know you have interns, right?
Yes.
So tell us about that too.
Yeah, we've had interns for the last 9 years, and we've had over 100 interns go through our clinic.
Incredible.
You know, they're coming out now with certainly a lot more education than what I had.
And true,
me too. It's
kind of
interesting. They have a lot more pieces of equipment. I mean, you know, pretty much it's kind of simple, but then again, it's not. But be persistent in what you want to do. Achieve your goals, because nothing is impossible to achieve.
Yeah.
Anybody can do anything they want at any time. So.
I love that. What happened when you went from commercial to your own practice? What were the big changes that really were powerful and worth the trouble to you?
First, being your own boss. I mean, you know, when you're in a commercial, you got to kind of play the game, the process of being there 7 days a week and having, you know, taking a certain number of exams and staying late and so on. And when you have your own practice, you set all the rules.
Yes.
So you set your fees, you set your time. You want to take 2 days off, you can do that and not get hassled. So the freedom that you get in the commercial practice is certainly an advantage. Also the income, because now everything goes to you and you can control everything. You can control the schedule and what frames you sell and what contact lenses you want to sell. And it expands everything about optometry that commercial practice sometimes limited us on. Not that commercial was bad. I was in it for about 20 years.
Yeah. And you were happy with what it did for you, but then you reached a point where you wanted something different.
Exactly.
I think that's the other thing I try to tell students all the time is don't think that your career is going to be that.
Yes.
Look at it as keeping your eyes open, your options open. I think my dream always was to have my own practice, but I was in commercial practice for 7 years.
Yeah.
And that's the way it started out.
Yeah, and that's not a bad way to start.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting when the students come to me and they ask me about what I should do about, I got maybe a job interview coming up and how do I approach that and what can I say and
I want to hear that answer.
I always tell them, I said, you got to research what that office does and does not do. And if there's something that it does not do, you may want to focus on trying to improve that in their practice, because you're going to be worth a lot more to that doctor than someone who just wants to refract and fit contact lenses, standard soft contacts, and that's all they want to do. So if you can expand their capabilities, that's going to make a little bit you know, better for you maybe in the hiring process. Yes.
So let's go to the topic of you and Karen are both optometrists. So did you always practice together? There are a lot of people that are graduating that have a husband and wife or a spouse that are optometrists.
Yes.
Words of wisdom there.
So we never did practice a lot together. When we had the vision work, she was at one, I was at the other, and we did that for, I don't know, 15 years. So she was in charge of hers, and I was in kind of in charge of mine, and so we did a kind of our own thing. When we left Vision Works and we bought our own practice, we worked a couple days together. And we have a little bit of different philosophy on doing things. I'm sure most married couples do.
I want to hear it.
So, well, you know, we worked mostly at different days, and there were some days we worked together. And we worked together. We kind of worked together to get through the day.
I love it.
and then, eventually Karen got a job at CompuLink as Director of Professional Relations and Training. So she was there for 13 years. She just retired back in October.
Wow.
So now she's worked a couple days here and there at the office, but mostly it's just, me and another doctor, and it's been going really well. But it's interesting, being out of practice for 13 years, you can kind of get lost.
Oh, sure.
And every piece of equipment we had in the office, except for the ferropter and the slit lamp, has been different.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so OCT, we have an iKinetics, we have the ERG, the OCTA, the OptoMaps and things. It's just amazing. The developments that's occurred in optometry.
So words of wisdom for optometrists out there that are looking to move into private practice.
Don't be afraid. You know, the old saying, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
And in my perspective, that is true. And I think if you work hard enough and long enough, no matter what you try to achieve, you will make it happen. But you know, but you got to be committed. You're not going to go in and work just 9 to 5 and own a practice. You're going to spend some late hours, early mornings. You're going to go through some hills and valleys, which is normally what happens in life. But, you know, if you're persistent, you can do anything you like.
Yeah. All right. So another question. I think I have time for at least one more.
Okay.
Here's one that I love to ask everybody, and it is, what words of wisdom would you give to your younger self?
Wow.
Does that make sense? I love looking at people's answers. If you ever search it online and look up people's answers, it's crazy and awesome the things they say, but sometimes confusing. So I gave you a minute. Think on it.
Yes.
No, ready?
I agree. That's a tough question, but I do have an answer.
All right.
First of all, I would not change optometry as a profession. Even though my twin brother was an MD, he's retired, I would still keep optometry as my profession. But I would do, if I could go back earlier, I would tell myself to get into my own private practice sooner and buy my own building sooner. Because both of those were extremely positive for me.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. So you guys, Mark and Karen are so amazing together. You know, they have done such great things in their practice. You have fabulous employees. And
Thank
didn't
you.
Karen actually create a staff like training manual?
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes. Yeah, it was 450 pages.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. She ended up selling that. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
And you never know how things that you do for your practice could end up having benefit to, or giving benefit, being a benefit to other people.
Yes.
You've always helped others. That's, I think, my opinion is, that's why you're successful.
Thank you.
Because you've had grit, determination, but always been willing to help
and
your fellow optometrists.
I do love helping fellow optometrists. I do. Thank you.
Yeah. We appreciate you. I wanted you here because I wanted everyone to hear your story.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And be inspired and just know that wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, Mark is a perfect example of how you follow your dreams.
Thank you, April.
And you'll accomplish
it. I appreciate it.